Greetings, beloved. We welcome you to the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship, and we pray that the Lord will use this opportunity to bless and to allow us to receive all that He has for us. We want to thank you for joining us here, whether you're with our live broadcast or at a later date from our recording. We pray that this lesson would be a blessing to you. Amen. So today we're going to be starting a new series here at our Bible morning Bible study entitled Walk This Way. And so I want to encourage you to continue with us throughout these upcoming weeks as we study Paul's writings in the book of Philippians. We're going to look at particularly that fourth chapter of Philippians. So again, thank you for joining us. We're going to open up with prayer. And again, I thank you for being a part of our Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship. I'm Elder Mary Ellis, and I certainly welcome you to our session. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come on today to give you thanks and praise. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for watching over us and keeping us and just guiding us. Now, Lord God, as we have come together to study your word, we pray that you will be in the midst, that you open our hearts and our minds so we may be receptive to all that you have. Speak to us, God, those things that you want us to know and to hear. Bring to our remembrance, and those that are receiving this, God, even now or at a later date, we pray that they too receive a word of wisdom from you, that whatever we are able to share will be a blessing to their life. Now, Lord, we ask again that you be in our midst and that you would bless like only you can. For we ask all these blessings in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, saints, again, we thank you for being a part of this teaching session here at the Queen's Ministry. And on behalf of our pastor, Bishop Andy C. Luter, we again want to thank you for joining with us. Let us go to our lesson today. And as always, if you need a hard copy of our lesson, you can call our church office where someone will gladly respond to your message, to your request, or on our website. You can download not only this recording, which you probably are now doing, listening, but you can always download the hard copy for your later consumption. All right, well, let's begin. We're talking today, again, the lesson entitled Walk This Way. And we're going to be looking at, if you would, Philippians, the fourth chapter. We're going to walk through verses 1 through 9. Throughout our lesson on today. We're not going to get through all of it because it is so much to share, but we will continue with our lesson and for you to come back at a later date to retrieve the responses to the questions that are on your worksheet. Amen. So we begin with our foundational verse, a verse that we're going to be using as the foundation of our lesson, our teaching. And it's found in Philippians 4 and 1. And it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. That was the NIV. And NIV version. And here the writer, Paul, the Apostle Paul, also known as the Apostle to the Gentile, is writing to this church established under his ministry about certain things that he had heard was going on. And so he's responding to them and also giving them foundational teaching as how to live with one another. So a lesson entitled Walk This Way, we're not talking about per se your physical stride, your gait, the way you move from point A to point B. We're talking about your lifestyle, your living as a Christian and alongside other Christians, other believers. Paul saw that there was friction, strife, amongst believers in certain locations, and this one in particular, he is responding to what someone has said, what was going on. So Paul said, let me lay out some things that I want you to follow. He says, I love you. That's why I'm doing this. I want to be with you. That's that I long for you. And he says, and you're my jewel. I'm proud of you, my joy and my crown. So I want you to stand firm in the Lord. I want you to be on a right path. And this way, dear friends, walk in it. So let's see what Paul was talking about to the church at Philippi. So the writer is writing this letter to the Philippians church to encourage them, first and foremost, to instruct them, and then even to rebuke. Again, he had heard of the strife, the quarreling amongst them, and he wanted to put an end to it. So he's encouraging them to continue in the way that they started, instructing them in how to continue in that way, and even to stop what was becoming an issue in the church. So he shares his love for them, and he shares his joy in knowing them. In this section of the letter, again, we're not starting at the first chapter, we're jumping right midway in that chapter 4. Paul lists several items that he wants the church to concentrate on, to think about. And so he tells the readers, I want you to be united, I want you to be joyful, I want you to be exemplary. That's right, set a good example. I want you to be prayerful, and I want you to check your thinking. So we're going to revisit those themes, those topics in this chapter of Philippians, and take a look at the things that Paul says not only to the church at Philippi to put into practice, but us as well in our daily living. So go with me to that fourth chapter of Philippians. I'm not going to read all of it today in your hearing, but in your moment of time of devotion or Bible study, take a moment to read chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to begin by reading just the first four verses in your hearing this morning. And it says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brother, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore you, Adai, and I implore Synecdoche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. We're going to stop right there and go to our worksheet. And we're going to go to the section entitled, Be United. So as you see, Paul has already pulled out the thought that there should be unity in this local congregation. There should be unity in the body. Unity in this congregation. So, item number one, Paul instructs the believers to be united, to work in harmony, to work in harmony, to guard against those things that will cause division, to work in harmony, to guard against those things that cause division. You see that in the opening of the verses. He says, I implore you. And he's pointing out two individuals that seemingly were at odds with one another. And he says, come on, get together. I'm imploring you. I'm practically pleading with you to be of the same mind of the Lord. And he's even encouraging those around them in this congregation to help them get to an understanding, a point of reconciliation. And that's where we are to be, saints, not being part of the problem, but part of the solution. Not antagonizing, but helping to diffuse and to bring about peace and harmony, to work towards togetherness. Let's go to number two. In verse 2, he tells them to be of the same mind. Look at things from the perspective of who you are in the Lord. Forget about your position, your class structure, or where you came from. But let's be of the same mind and come into an understanding of the issue at hand. Number three, he also encourages others that may not be part of the disagreement to help them get past this confrontation. Again, he's encouraging those around not to be a part of the problem, but be a part of the solution, and to help them to keep on cooperating. Let me read number three again. He also encourages others that may not be a part of the disagreement to help them get past this confrontation and to help them to keep on cooperating. Number four, Paul was encouraging this restoration of the relationship because he saw them as fellow believers. And that's how we should look at one another. Not as enemies, but as fellow believers, brothers and sisters. You see, he opened up by calling them brothers and sisters, beloved. So he saw them as fellow believers, and possibly he also was encouraging this restoration to remind them that others are watching how they behave. And that's still true today. It doesn't take much for people to point a finger at the church and say, I thought you were, and why are you acting like that? Because they are watching what we do and how we do and how we say. And so we have to be mindful of that, that we are on view to the world. If we proclaim to be who we say we are, then we ought to act in that manner. Amen, somebody. Number five, he wanted the church to live in unity. U-N-I-T-Y. You and I together. Yes. Unity. You and I together. Yes. So Paul is saying to the church, live in unity as a community of believers who are part of the body of Christ. We reference here Romans 12 and 5, which says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So we're not in this alone. Just like our body is not disjointed, where one part goes this way and another part goes that way, even though sometimes we said if we didn't have a head attached, it would be left somewhere. It is all attached so that we can work together in unity. The hand can't say, I want to go right, and the other hand said, I want to go left. Or the legs can't say, I want to go front, and the other leg said, I want to go back. We walk in unity in our natural body. And so Paul said, in the spiritual body, the body of Christ, we ought to walk in unity as well. We are all part of the body of Christ. Let's see in our study of this particular chapter, supporting verses that share in the same thought that Paul was writing to the church at Philippians. So we see in our study, we reference item number 6, 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. Now, again, for the sake of time, we're not going to read through all of the verses, but when you have a moment, please do that. But 1 Corinthians 1 and 10 says to us, speak the same thing. Be of one mind. Let there be no division. That's what I want to pull out of that verse. Let there be no division among you. Again, Paul is encouraging unity, U-N-I-T-Y. He says, don't get quarreling over who planted the seed in your life that awoke you to the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're all one. Again, going back to that Romans 12, we are all part of the body. So let there be no division over I am of Peter, or I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos. That's not where we need to be. Let there be no infighting amongst you. Let us be of the same mind, same goal, same purpose. Amen. So he's referencing here in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, let there be no division, but let there be harmony. That's what we're going back to. Let's work in harmony. Number 7, Colossians 3 and 14. Paul encourages the readers of this particular letter to put on love. That's right. Let love be an example of you loving and caring and daring and forgiving one another. That brings to mind what Peter said to the church in 1 Peter and 4 and 8, where he says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." Oh my goodness, beloved, when we can't get along sometimes, it's because we are not allowing love to take the lead. Think about that. Put on love, and then you can forgive, you can care, you can bear, you can tolerate. Peter says it this way, because love can cover over multitudes of sins. It can help you overlook those things that can irritate, bother you with others in the body. Amen? It's almost like a salve. And if we put on the love that God says to put on, that Jesus encourages us to put on, the love that they show to us, then we can work past, work through the difficulties that come up in our relationships with one another. Amen? So put on love. Number eight. Psalms 133 and 1, we all love this particular verse. We quote it, and it's the theme for many of our anniversary services, many of our programs in church. I want to read this particular verse because, again, it is one that we quote so often. And it says, how wonderful, I'm reading out of the NLT version, it says, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion, and there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. How wonderful, how pleasant when brothers and sisters live together in harmony. Amen. That's Psalms 133. How wonderful it is when we live together in harmony. It's pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. Keep that in mind when you think about keeping strife or contention going. That is better to show forth harmony. Amen? Number nine, Ephesians 4 and 3 says, strive to keep unity of the Spirit with a bond of peace. Live in peace as much as possible amongst you, keeping the bond of spirit. Remember, it's the spirit that unites us. It's the spirit that keeps us together. It is the spirit that we are a part of, the spirit of God. So make every effort to just that, as peaceable as possible. And then that last one in this section, number 10, Amos 3 and 3 says, the question is asked, a rhetorical question, yes, the answer is not being asked of us, but it says, can two walk together unless they agreed? Can two walk together unless they decide on the direction that they want to go? You're not going together if one's going left, the other's going right. You have to decide which direction you want to go. So again, it all feeds back to the theme that Paul is encouraging in the church here at Philippi and us, be united. Amen. Well, let's jump on over down to the next section, part two, be joyful. Number one, in verse four, Paul tells the readers to be joyful, or to what? Rejoice in the Lord. Be joyful or rejoice in the Lord. And certainly, I am one that love to rejoice in the Lord. What about you? Number two, he is saying, take delight. That's it. Take delight. Take pleasure in him. Enjoying being connected to him. You know how it is when you have that best friend, that best girl, that best guy that you like to be with, that wife, that husband, that family member, mom, pop, whoever it is, children, you would have a delight. You can't wait to be in their presence. Well, that's what Paul is encouraging here for us in the body. Take pleasure, rejoice in being connected to the Lord. Number three, he was so excited about this, so sure about this, that he told them twice. Number four says what? Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Again, I say rejoice. He got excited that he repeated the same thing to them. Rejoice in the Lord. Number four, the Bible reminds us that there is a joy in knowing God. There is a joy in knowing God. Amen. And so when we know the Lord, we don't have to be sad or down. There's a joy, that uplifting in knowing Him and being in relationship with Him. So number four is telling us there's a joy in knowing God, and there's a joy in being in relationship with Him. Amen. My goodness. Glory to God. It allows us to know that being in God's presence, being connected, being in fellowship with Him is a benefit. It's a blessing in our lives. Paul is saying it's a joy in your life. Amen. Oh, praise be to God. Let's go on and see again supporting verses in the Bible that support the same thought about having joy or being joyful, being delighted in the Lord. We again go back to the Old Testament reading of Psalms, and 13 and 5 says, as we trust in His mercy, our hearts can rejoice in His salvation. Oh my goodness. Here again, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in His salvation as we trust in His mercy of offering us reconciliation through Jesus. We can rejoice in that salvation that He provides. Amen. Think about it. Sin has caused separation, but through Jesus Christ, we are reunited with God, in fellowship with Him, and we can rejoice in that knowledge. Number six, Psalm 68 and 3 says, let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice exceedingly before God. Why? Because God is a great God. He's an almighty God. He is a God that cares, that loves us with an everlasting love. Let the righteous, the ones that God has preserved, has kept, has watched over, let us be glad and rejoice and be exceedingly glad in the Lord, before the Lord. Again, it goes back to that fellowship, taking delight in being connected to God. Amen. Number seven, Psalms 37 and 11. It should say 11, so excuse that typo. It should say Psalms 37 and 11. It says that the meek shall inherit the earth and delight in the abundance of peace. Oh my goodness, when we are connected to God, He gives out of Himself peace. Oh, what did Jesus tell us? He says, my peace I give to you. Peace on earth, the angels proclaim at the birth of our Savior. So we can delight in the abundance of peace that is offered through God, through connection in the fellowship of God. Number eight, John 15 and 11 says, Jesus gives us His joy fully. Not only does He offer us His peace, but He says, I give you my joy, that my joy, Jesus says, that my joy may remain in you fully, that my joy may remain in you fully. So John 15 and 11 is saying to us that we get the joy of the Lord. And you know, from earlier writings, it says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So John is telling us that Jesus gives us His joy, and that His joy can remain in us fully, just like His peace can overflow in our lives. Amen. We go to that last verse there, number 9, Jeremiah 15 and 16, that says to us that God's word is joy to the writer of this particular verse. And he finds himself so in love with God's word that he considers eating it. praise be to God, whether figuratively or literally, he feels that this word is so refreshing, so uplifting, that he considers eating these words because it brings him joy. And he finds his heart rejoicing. He finds his heart rejoicing. Oh my goodness. And we know this particular writer, Jeremiah, even said in another writing that what was on the inside of him was a burning desire to be released. He said it was like fire shut up in his bones. And so when we get God's word on the inside, it has to come out. Glory to God. It burns to come out, to be released in a way that is a blessing in our lives as well as in the lives of others. So this writer says there is joy in God's word. Amen. Think about this. Our lesson asks, challenge you to take a moment in your time of study. As you go back through these verses at the end, take a moment and write down one thing that you recall that brings you joy in knowing him. What is it that you love about the God, about our God, that brings you joy, that causes you to smile even when you're down, that causes you to rejoice even when you're in sad moments or sad times? What it is that you recall that brings you joy in knowing him? Maybe it's like the writer in Jeremiah who says this is his words. Maybe it's like David who says, I just love to be in the presence of the Lord. Maybe it's like others who says that knowing God and being in fellowship with others is a joy. What is it that causes you to remember the goodness and the joy of the Lord? Amen. Well, we're going to move into our final section for today, and that is the one on being exemplary. So let's remember, we talked from this lesson in Philippians, the fourth chapter, that Paul is writing to the church, that he wants the church to be in unity, that he wants the church to be joyful. There's a joy and delight in knowing God. And now he says, I want you to be an example, to be exemplary, to show forth that. Because again, remember, they are watching. Yes. And so Paul is saying, you are to be that example that highlights the good things, the great things of our God, because God is great. And so we are representatives of him. We are, as Paul has said to us in later writings, that we are his ambassadors. Amen, somebody. So let's see what Paul talks about being exemplary. I'm going to read for you that verse 5, where it says in Philippians 4 and 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Let me repeat that. That's verse 5 in Philippians 4. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So number one, under this third section of exemplary, Paul tells the readers in that verse to be an example of Christ living in you. Paul tells the readers to be an example of Christ living in you. Number two, he says, let your gentle spirit be known to all people. Let your gentle spirit be known to all people. Don't turn it on, turn it off, give it to some and not to others. Let it be known to all spirit. Let it shine as part of your character. Again, remember, our lesson is walking this way, living this way, letting your character shine forth, shine through in your living with others, especially those in the household of faith. Amen? So let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Number three, he's telling them to show forth graciousness, unselfishness, and mercy, and tolerance and patience. I'm going to repeat those items. Paul is saying here, I want you to show forth graciousness. Be gracious to one another. on selfishness. Don't be selfish. And mercy and tolerance and patience. Yes, you. Yes, me. Paul is saying to us, let us have these traits. Let us have these characters. They will allow us to be united. They will allow us to be joyful in the household of faith. It will allow us to show forth an example to the world how being united with Christ is a good thing, because out of that we can work in harmony, live in harmony, live and work in harmony with one another. So let me repeat that one more again. Show forth graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience. A big one. Yes, I agree. Patience for everyone. Number four. In other words, he is saying, exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. We know we see those items in the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit says, let love, let joy, let peace, let patience or long-suffering, let kindness, let goodness, let faithfulness, let gentleness, let self-control or temperance shine forth in your life. And we look and we see that right there in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. The fruit of the Spirit is what Paul is encouraging the church right here at Philippi. He later writes to the Galatians, the church at Galatia, let these traits, these characters, which are part of God the Father, shine forth in your life. That's how we can live in harmony with one another, when we all exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. That's why he said, as much as possible, I encourage you, implore you, remember, implore you to allow the Spirit to be in bond with the Spirit. Because then the fruit of the Spirit can shine forth in all of our lives. Amen. Number five, Paul reminds them that the Lord is near. Right there, he says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. He's an ever-present. Ever-present. Amen. The Lord is near. Again, we walk through other verses in the Bible that support this thought of being exemplary. And let's take a moment and look at them now. We see that Paul says to us in Ephesians 5, 1 through 12, he is telling us there that we need to exemplify the things of God. We need to follow God's example and put on, again, there's that word, love. Put on love. Sometimes it's a sacrificial love, as Jesus exhibited, who died on our behalf. Sometimes it's a love that's unconditional, how God showed it when he loved us so very, very much that he sent his son on our behalf. Follow God's example. Put on love. Sometimes it's that unconditional love. You're not looking for anything in return. Sometimes it's that sacrificial love where you have to give in order to show it. But follow God's example, as Paul writes in Ephesians 5. We see in number 7, 2 Peter 1 and 5, where Peter says, and add to your faith. Now we see faith is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So Peter comes back and says, add to that goodness, knowledge. Add to that goodness, knowledge. Peter is saying that is a part of the makeup of those that are a part of the body. And that is that you show forth in not only your faith, but you show forth goodness and knowledge. Again, these are all attributes. These are all traits of the fruit of the Spirit that we see evident in our lives when we allow the Spirit to take more control. And so what we're saying to you is follow God's example. And Peter comes along and says, add to your faith goodness. Add to your faith goodness. Add to what you know and believe goodness and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I want to read in your hearing, verse 9. Listen to it as Peter is saying, add to your faith goodness. And then he also goes a whole list of items to also add, not only of knowledge and goodness, but he goes on to talk about self-control, much as the fruit of the Spirit, brotherly kindness and goodness, and so on. We'll take a moment and read that, 2 Peter 1 and 5. But verse 9 I want to bring into our lesson today, where it says, for he who lacks these things, get this, is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Well, Peter is saying, if you forgot how to build upon your faith and allow these attributes to shine forth, you've forgotten where you came from. You've forgotten. You're short-sighted in your living, in your example of who you are in God. Remember, this particular section is talking about being exemplary. Don't be an example that will cause others to turn away, but be an example that show forth God changing, transforming power in your life. Come on here, somebody. Let's get excited about the Lord. Let's move on. Coming down to the end of our lesson for today, we go to number 8. And Psalms 41 and 12 tells us to have integrity. Have integrity. How can we be examples? Well, we can be an example to those that look at us as believers, as the body of Christ, as people of integrity. People that will do the right thing even when no one is looking. Have integrity in his presence. Remember, the Lord is near. His presence is near. So have integrity. Being able to be an example even when no one is watching, but because we know that the Lord is looking over even when there's others whose eyes are not there. So have integrity. We also see in Ephesians 4 and 32 that we, again, Paul is saying, show forth kindness, show forth compassion, and forgiveness, just like Christ. If we're going to be examples, then we have to be like the greatest example before us, and that is Jesus Christ, who showed forth kindness and compassion. Remember, so many cried out to him, and he turned and he addressed their needs. He was compassionate to those that would call upon him. I think come to mind the one that cried out, who says, Son of David, have mercy. And those blind men that cried out, those leopards that cried out, he didn't walk away from them. He showed compassion. He showed kindness. He showed love. And even on the cross as he was dying, and they had did all those horrible things to him, he was willing to show forth forgiveness. He said, Father, forgive them. Oh my goodness. So if we're going to follow and be like Jesus, then we too, as his followers, as his children, as examples to the world, have to show forth goodness, knowledge, faith, kindness, compassion, forgiveness. Fruit of the Spirit need to grow and be evident in our lives. Amen. 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 Let us go to our last item there under this section, and that is 1 Peter 3 and 8. And it says here, the writer says, and all of us be like-minded in sympathetic, loving ways towards each other. Again, be compassionate and show forth humility. Be humble about it. Don't need to be prideful and boastful about what you are doing and how you're doing. Again, we are setting examples We are being exemplary, amen, in the eyes of the others. I leave you with this last thought as we close out in prayer for the end of our lesson. I hope and pray you have been blessed by what was shared on today, how Paul encourages the church to be united, to be joyful, to be exemplary. Remember, we don't have to reflect our outward circumstances because of what's going on the outside. But because of Jesus, we can show forth a spirit of peace and calmness and joy, and we can get a right perspective on what we are facing. So today, I want to encourage you to continue in the study of God's Word. And I encourage you to look at Philippians, that fourth chapter, and read it in its entirety. And refresh your thinking of what it is that the Lord wants from us. Remember, Paul is encouraging the church. He's instructing them, even rebuking them. Where do you find yourself in this letter? Again, we are thanking God that He makes it plain as to what He requires and desires from His children. May you be blessed. I look forward to sharing with you the conclusion of our lesson on Walk This Way. I ask that you come back and join with us in our final session. And I pray again that the Lord will bless our time together. Father, we thank you for what took place on today. We thank you for the sharing. We pray, God, that whatever of you have allowed to speak in our hearing, that it may be a blessing to the receivers. Now, Lord God, keep us, watch over and protect us, continue to guide us in all things is our prayer. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Truly thank God for you. Look forward to being with you again real soon. God bless.